is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting at all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical. It's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, and welcome to it, my friends. It is Friday, and that makes it Free for All Friday. That means you can get in on the conversation. That means you can be heard. And so much to talk about. Would you like to talk about the governor's 75-point plan on correcting what's going on in Flint? Would you like to address the hundreds of millions of dollars being spent in that community to deal with the aftermath, the effects of lead in the water? Do you want to talk about what's happened in Brussels, Belgium? It's your opportunity. It's your opportunity to step up and be heard. 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. It is the Steve Gruber Show. Well, the Belgian government is admitting that more could have been done to prevent Tuesday's suicide bombings and terrorist attack in Brussels. This comes as two high-ranking ministers offered to resign their positions over law enforcement's failure to act on a warning from Turkey last year that it had arrested one of the would-be bombers. The United States also had some of these terrorists on watch lists. Belgian Prime Minister Charles Michel asked Interior Minister Jean Jambon and Justice Minister Koen Gaens to stay on. Given the current challenge the government is facing, however, Gaens admitted to reporters and authorities, they don't have to be proud of what happened. We perhaps did things we should not have done. The attacks on the airport there and a subway train killed at least 31 people now, the latest death toll. Well over 250 injured, so 300 maimed and murdered in the latest Islamic terrorist attack. Revelations that the attacks were carried out in the name of ISIS and by the same ISIS cell behind last November's attacks in Paris that killed 130 people have led to very uncomfortable questions for Belgian counterterror intelligence and policing. I would point out that the United States offered to help Belgium in the wake of the Paris attacks at the Bataclan and elsewhere, and the United States was flatly turned down. Many of these questions surround Turkey's disclosure this week that it had apprehended one of the airport suicide bombers, Ibrahim El-Bakrawi. He was stopped and apprehended near Turkey's border with Syria in June of 2015. Turkey said it had warned Belgium that it had flagged El-Bakrawi as a foreign terrorist fighter and had a criminal record in Belgium at the time he went to Turkey, but Belgium authorities could find no links to terrorism. Well, they can now. One of those links leads right back to Michigan. A West Michigan man and former Oakland University basketball player was among those injured when those bombs went off at the airport. In fact, he took time to speak with Good Morning America in an emotional hospital bed interview. Sebastian Bellin wiped away tears, choked back sobs. He obviously very emotional, difficult situation that ties it right back to where you and I live. It's clip one. Go.
I remember seeing an explosion, the first explosion near the pharmacy at the airport. And I turned my head and I saw all these people running. And when I got there, I was, you know, I think I blacked out for a little bit. And I remember seeing two little kids to my right, you know, and their little hands were up in the air. And then the whole time I was just trying to tell myself, I'm going to make it. And when I got in that ambulance, then I knew I was. I was good. I guess that's the point. When I was in the ambulance, then I knew I was all right. But until then, it's... I got no idea. So that's it. You know, I'm here to fight another day, and I just didn't want... I just want my girls to grow up without a dad, you know?
You can feel the emotion. This is what Leading From Behind has brought to our shores. It is time to roll up our sleeves. It is time to call Islamic terrorism for what it is, because this day that occurred in Brussels, and the day that occurred in Paris, that day is not far away for you and I in this country. Unless we get more focused, laser focused, more serious about what we're doing. There's just no other way around it. 400 to 600 ISIS fighters, at least, have spread across Europe. I would guess the number is probably far higher. We know that with the problems at our southern border and illegals crossing almost at will, that we have similar terrorist cells in this country. And the bombs made there in Brussels were made out of common household products. So if the bomb-making material is here, and the people are here, then on this Good Friday, you know that terrorists are among us. You could draw no other logical conclusion. There are terrorists among us that would like to do us great harm. Maim and murder as many as possible in the name of Islam. Whether you consider it their Islam or somebody else's, it doesn't matter. They're doing it in the name of Islam. That's what they'll tell you. And they will also tell you further that anybody who doesn't practice their type of Islam is also a target and not to be spared. In fact, those people might be in more danger. But listening to Sebastian Bellin, brings it home for me. A West Michigan man just traveling, working, getting on an airplane to come home to his family. Watching the explosions, at least 20 people died in that airport. If he had been a bit closer, or a piece of shrapnel or debris had come his way, it may have ended far differently. When we come back here today, I want to share something with you that is highly unusual. There's an interview that happened on Tuesday or Wednesday, I guess Tuesday, with Hillary Clinton, and she's on the CBS Morning News. And she starts talking about this, and suddenly she gets cut off. It's really odd if you haven't seen this. We have to figure out why she was cut off. I mean, they just dumped her. Bam. Back in a moment to evaluate that and much more on the Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
Welcome back to it on this Free For All Friday. It's the Steve Gruber Show. The phone number if you want to join the conversation, 888-900-9966. Now, this next bit here, I'm still trying to figure out what went on here. Hillary Clinton comes on to the CBS Morning News after the terrorist attacks in Brussels. All right, she's having a conversation with them. I'm not going to tell you anything more than that. I want you to listen to it if you haven't heard it. And listen to how it ends. And then we're going to talk about it. Clip six, go.
Secretary Clinton, you've often said it's not enough to contain ISIS, you have to defeat ISIS. What is your definition of defeat here? And do you think Europe has a handle on what's happening there?
That's a really important question. And I don't know that Europe has yet fully come to grips with the threat that ISIS poses. And remember, there are other groups that are ISIS-like that are, you know, intent upon radical jihadist terrorist attacks. So we've got to defeat ISIS, and that means being in very close cooperation.
Secretary Clinton, I'm so sorry. We're going to have to leave you now. Thank you for joining us.
Is that the strangest thing you've heard today? She uses the term radical jihadi terrorists. Was that why she was cut off? She used a term that Donald Trump has been using. Was she cut off because she was a little bit rambling? That was more than abrupt. That was being cut off at the knees. Is that the strangest thing? I mean, just bizarre. I don't understand. Van, I want to just go ahead, cue that back up. Because to fully appreciate you need to hear it twice and go, what was that all about? Go ahead. Roll it again.
Secretary Clinton, you've often said it's not enough to contain ISIS. You have to defeat ISIS. What is your definition of defeat here? And do you think Europe has a handle on what's happening there?
That's a really important question. And I don't know that Europe has yet fully come to grips with the threat that ISIS poses. And remember, there are other groups that are ISIS-like that are, you know, intent upon radical jihadist terrorist attacks. So we've got to defeat ISIS, and that means being in very close cooperation.
Secretary Clinton, I'm so sorry. We're going to have to leave you now. Thank you for joining us.
We're going to have to leave you now. Isn't that bizarre? Yeah, I'd like to know what's going on there. We're going to continue to look at that clip and try to sort that one out. Meanwhile, let's go to the hotline. Steve, first up today on Free for All Friday. Steve, welcome to it. Steve, what's on your mind today?
That was kind of interesting as far as it didn't fit. It seemed not to fit the narrative.
It seems not to fit anything.
Right. Well, it didn't fit their narrative as wanting to get to the bottom of terrorists, but not putting a name on them. But the bigger thing we have here clearly is a choice of the direction we're going to vote. You know, we have Double D standing on the side with a nice smile. She's saying nothing. We have Hillary Clinton telling us what we think we need to hear. And then we have Donald Trump. I think he's probably, the guy is like a street fighter telling you the truth. That's the best way I can describe the guy. He's just a street fighter. And if you don't like the answer, stop asking the questions. Because
well,
he's opened up so many avenues that the pencil necks in Washington would never even mumble a word about.
Yeah, they say he's unelectable, Stevie, and I don't know how that's going to play out because I believe he's probably going to sneak across the line with enough delegates to get the nomination. We'll see, but I think he's going to be very close. I think he sneaks across the line. That might be at the very end of California, but here's the thing. They keep telling you he's unelectable, yet he's the one that's been driving the conversation, driving the agenda of the political conversation for almost a year.
I believe if there's any real skullduggery going on, I think we're staring at a Trump Cruise ticket.
Well, we'll see what happens there. We'll have to check that out. Steve, thanks for checking in as always. Let's check down the line. Dan has been hanging on in Grand Rapids on the Free for All Friday hotline. Dan, welcome to it.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. We're never going to beat this ISIS if we just keep playing defense. We always seem to just wait for them to attack us, and then we send in the police and look for evidence and all of this. ISIS is the Islamic State. They have a capital city. It's in Syria. They're financed by oil money. Yet we don't go over and bomb their capital city. Well, we don't want to do anything. We don't want to stop the oil from coming into them, and they can sell it to Turkey. We won't bomb the oil refineries. We won't bomb the trucks that are carrying the oil because, gee, there might be an innocent person driving that truck.
But the Russians
did. We wouldn't want it.
Yeah, the Russians went in and bombed those oil convoys, and we hit a couple of them, but we didn't hit many of them. You're right about that. We did hit a couple, but not much. And you're right, Raqqa sits there untouched, the capital of the Islamic State. But their territory is getting smaller. I don't know if it's because of our work or because of the work of the Russians and others, but it has gotten smaller, and I suppose that we have certainly contributed to that. But you're right. You need to treat and conduct a war as it's a war, as if it is a war, Dan.
Yeah, these people aren't hiding in caves like Al-Qaeda was. So we can go get them. And I'm tired of looking at a whole bunch of people dropping off flowers or stuffed animals or flags or something like this. What I want to see is some Belgium, French, American, English bombers fully loaded heading over there and take this capital city right off the map.
It's the Steve Gruber Show on Free for All Friday.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
All right, welcome back to it. A lot of places in the state today concerned about flooding is, including eastern, southeastern Michigan, 2 inches of rain in and around the Detroit area, heavy flooding in that region. So those listening to WFNT Flint and elsewhere, keep an eye on that today. Of course, just a mess yesterday. Rain, ice, snow, and everything in between seemed to get dumped on us. Yeah, quite a mess. And then back into warmer weather now. The five-day forecast putting temperatures in southern Michigan into the mid-50s. So a whole lot of that snow that came into northern Michigan, you know, from Traverse City north to the bridge and into the southern tier of the Upper Peninsula will be gone soon. So a big mess for you. It is Free for All Friday. You can give me a call, 888-900-9966. Of course, the good news is that with that going away, maybe that's the last one. Maybe that's the last slap of winter for us. Pretty good one, I might add. Lots of accidents around the state. You probably might have seen a couple yourself. But that could be the last slap of winter for us as we move forward. And let's be honest, the water levels in Michigan this year should be fabulous. Should be a terrific summer that we're setting up for. All right. Well, as you know, President Obama has been in Cuba and Argentina over the last few days. And in Argentina here yesterday, while his trip to Buenos Aires, which, by the way, I've been to Buenos Aires. It's a great city if you like world-class cities. It really is. The food in Argentina is what I remember most. I was just there a couple of years ago. And the steaks in Argentina are ridiculous. They're like a foot thick and 2 feet long. It's like a Fred Flintstone steak. I'm not kidding you. That's what it is, a Fred Flintstone steak. And the prices were great. The wine was great. But I digress. At any rate, during his trip to Buenos Aires, President Obama took time to offer an apology. How shocking. For being slow to human rights from the United States. It's clip two. Go.
It's humbling to join President Macri at this poignant and beautiful memorial in honor of the victims of the Argentinian military dictatorship and the suffering their families have endured. It takes courage for a society to address uncomfortable truths about the darker parts of its past. Confronting crimes committed by our own leaders, by our own people, that can be divisive and frustrating, but it's essential to moving forward. There's been controversy about the policies of the United States early in those dark days, and the United States, when it reflects on what happened here, has to examine its own policies as well and its own past. Democracies have to have the courage to acknowledge when we don't live up to the ideals that we stand for, when we've been slow to speak out for human rights, and that was the case here. Today, in response to a request from President Macri and to continue helping the families of the victims find some of the truth and justice they deserve. I can announce that the United States government will declassify even more documents from that period, including for the first time military and intelligence records, because I believe we have a responsibility to confront the past with honesty and transparency.
Yeah, you know, slow to react to human rights, you know, apologizing for America again. In the Western Hemisphere, where America has kept the Western Hemisphere safe from interlopers, including places like Argentina benefiting clearly from America being on this side of the line. And yet Barack Obama always needs to make an apology. How about this? How about be quicker to react to the genocide facing Christians in the Middle East? How about that? The genocide being faced by Christians in Syria, in Iraq, Pakistan, and southern Turkey. That would be something we could focus on. I know that John Kerry finally came out and gave the bare minimum requirement to say it's genocide, but then, you know, devalued that comment by equivocating and diminishing its value. So I'm sorry. Another empty apology from this president on behalf of America. I am sick and tired of hearing this president apologize for America. Because we didn't what? Recognize the problems internally in Argentina fast enough? This is our latest place to stop and get on bended knee? Enough. I'm ready for an American leader that believes in America. I'm ready for an American leader, whoever that may be, who respects this country, the traditions we have, the people we have, the culture, the language, and respect those borders. I look forward to that president, whoever that may be, and certainly hope that it's not too late. Speaking of follies by this president, this has to be a bit of a difficult situation. Loretta Lynch and the Justice Department has charged 7 Iranian hackers in a series of cyber attacks against banks and a small dam outside of New York City. Yeah, this has to shock the president after all his, you know, swooning and swanning for the Iranians. Clip 3, listen to this, go.
Today, we have unsealed an indictment against 7 alleged experienced hackers employed by computer security companies working on behalf of the Iranian government, including the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. A federal grand jury in Manhattan found that these 7 individuals conspired together and with others to conduct a series of cyber attacks against civilian targets in the United States financial services industry that in total, or in all, in sum, cost the victims tens of millions of dollars.
Hackers infiltrated infrastructure, as alleged, taking over computers that control the water levels at a dam near New York City. So those sound like plot lines of a movie. But they're not. They're real crimes committed by real people in the real world.
The message of this case is that we will work together to shrink the world and impose costs on those people so that no matter where they are, we will try to reach them. And no matter how hard they work to hide their identity and their tradecraft, we will find ways to pierce that shield and identify them. That's the message of this case. That's why it's so important that we bring this case.
That was Loretta Lynch speaking along with Preet Bharara, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. So as we continue to make nice with the Iranians and make sure that we're all good friends and we trust them with all that they do, they're sending hackers over to mess with our dams, to mess with our money, just to mess with us, period. Leading from behind, it is something special, isn't it? Leading from behind is certainly something special. Let's see here. What else should we talk about today on this Free for All Friday? How about the battle between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump over who can, you know, basically, you know, insult the other one more? And their wives got involved in a little bit of this food fight here. It just seems completely counterproductive to me. A complete waste of time. And maybe Ted Cruz would be better served if he didn't address this nonsense. Now, I'm serious about it. Maybe he should take the high road out of this deal instead of returning fire every time. I don't think anybody's winning on this deal. I think it's a waste of time. It's a distraction. Clearly, looking at the headlines from this week, we have better things to talk about than people throwing jabs at each other. Now, of course, it started with a Cruz super PAC putting up some picture of Melania Trump. A nude picture, blurred out, of course, from a photo shoot some time ago. All right, it's 41 after on a free-for-all Friday. We'll be right back.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
All right, welcome back to it. It's an interesting case. We're going to do some follow-up now with you here. We did the case here a while back of a gentleman who was handing out pamphlets at a county courthouse. Pamphlets about, you know, jury duty, you know, information about America, Michigan, the laws, and so forth. He was arrested, charged with felonies for jury tampering and other such nonsense. It was overkill, in my estimation, to say the least. His attorney is David Coleman, who is also the senior legal counsel for the Great Lakes Justice Center. David, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be on.
Hey, glad to have you here, as always. Go ahead and give me an idea. First of all, give the listeners who don't know this story just a quick thumbnail background on what happened and how we ended up here.
Sure. Our client, Keith Wood, was standing out in front of the Mecosta County Courthouse on the public sidewalk, handing out a flyer from an organization that notifies people of their power and authority as jurors to vote their conscience on a particular case and to acquit someone, even if they might technically be guilty of a crime, for various reasons, anything from mercy, you know, just having mercy on the person, to they don't think it's a fair or a just verdict in a particular case. This flyer said nothing about any case going on at the time or any particular defendant. It was just general information. And the judge did not like this and the prosecutors, so they end up sending out a sheriff, a deputy, and a DNR officer who was armed in full uniform. And they kept trying to get him to stop, and he wouldn't stop because he said, well, what am I doing illegally? And they wouldn't tell him. Finally, they got him. They threatened him with arrest, got him inside the courthouse, and then the judge had him arrested for jury tampering. And then that's when they set that ridiculous $150,000 bond.
What was that bond again?
$150,000, 10%. So our client, and this is 2 days before Thanksgiving, is a father with seven children, no criminal history, you know, going back or anything, owns his own business and home in the community. And the prosecutor actually said he was worried about flight risk. It was just ridiculous. And so he had to post $15,000 on a credit card. Fortunately, he had it. It was the only credit card he has for his business, and it has a $15,000 limit. So he
Go to a bail bondsman, people don't know this, if you go to a bail bondsman and the bail bondsman puts up whatever the money is, say $15,000 in this case, a large chunk of that never comes back to you.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's how the bail bondsman makes his money. He puts up the 10% or makes the guarantee, but then he keeps a big chunk of that, you know, of that down payment, and that's how he gets paid. So you, even if you're innocent in this case, or you've been way overcharged and the bond is way overkill, you still pay that money. Luckily, he had the money, which is good news, but it's just important for people to understand how the system works. Okay.
Right.
So at that time, you and I spoke back then thinking, now how in the world does a guy get arrested for handing out pamphlets to hit? He had to have had some contact with people there. He had to be known. He couldn't just be random, a stranger, to get that kind of treatment now, could he?
Well, he's not a public figure up there or anything like that. He had been called to jury duty himself and had appeared and had asked some questions, but he didn't cause any trouble or anything, but he was there. I think in general, the court of people up there kind of knew who he was, but it wasn't from any kind of problems he had had or any disputes or anything like that. So, no, there really wasn't any history. And he didn't know the defendant. He did not know that person. He didn't know the defense attorney, who was there for the trial that day. He was just handing out this general information pamphlet.
And so he gets arrested. So take us to the next step then, obviously. And not only is he put up this 15 grand right before Thanksgiving and have these problems and so forth, you get into court. What's the justification for them making this charge? And then where do we go from there?
Well, he faced two counts. The first was a jury tampering charge, which is still in place. It's a misdemeanor. And that's essentially saying somebody interferes with a juror sitting on a case and hearing a case. Well, obviously, how is that even possible? No jury existed at the time. People had been summoned to appear in the jury pool. They might have been picked if a case had gone forward, but no case actually ever went forward. No jury was actually picked that day. So it's almost laughable. How could you tamper with an entity that does not exist? There was no jury. The second charge was an obstruction of justice felony charge under the common law. Under Michigan law, it's not used often anymore, but there are common law crimes that go back hundreds and hundreds of years that if there's not a statute dealing with a particular area, somebody could be charged under the common law. And the prosecutor charged him with a 5-year felony for obstructing justice.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, so only a couple of minutes left here, but at some point, somebody came to their senses. Obviously, you were there, and we're on the line with David Coleman, the senior legal counsel for the Great Lakes Justice Center. Somebody came to their senses, David. Bring this to its conclusion.
Right. Well, we filed a motion to dismiss the entire case, both charges, based on, number one, just the clear language of these statutes that he shouldn't be charged, and number two, the violation of his fundamental First Amendment free speech rights. This is a clear violation. The highest protection of any kind of speech in our law is for speaking and handing out pamphlets on a public sidewalk. It's the absolute highest protection. It's just outrageous what's going on. So we filed a motion. Oral arguments were on Wednesday, and the circuit judge who's sitting in on the case now is the district judge, because the district judge had to recuse himself. She ruled that the obstruction of justice charge had to be dismissed, because, as I said, there was already a statutory crime, the jury tampering, in place, so the prosecutor was wrong to bring a felony obstruction of justice charge. So she threw it out, which was wonderful. That's a big, huge win for our client. He was ecstatic that he's not facing a felony anymore. However, she left the jury tampering charge in place, pending further hearings and evidence being put in the record, so she could rule on the First Amendment. So we haven't lost on that issue yet, but that's still pending.
All right. So when the next chapter gets here, though, David, come back and join us.
Absolutely. We'll keep you up to date, Steve. Thanks a lot.
They're defending free speech on a free-for-all Friday. David Coleman, thank you so much. This is the Steve Gruber Show.